All right, here we go.
But once I get started, I can't stop.
Like eating Pringles.
Once you pop. All right, go ahead.
All
I'm
right,
sorry.
Here you go.
Not really sorry.
It's like the producer of the Liddy Show. Once you pop.
Hey, John.
Sure. You're the producer of a nationally syndicated talk show and you want to keep a ferret at the radio station? No problem. Nutty guy.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey there. This is Katie with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate people who take my polite and positive attitude as sarcasm. I say, have a super day, I mean it. If I wanted you to have a rotten day, I wouldn't say anything at all. Unless I wanted you to have a really terrible day, in which case, I'd say, f*** off. My thank yous and pleases are genuine. Just like the pony I hope you can ride along. I hate nasty people who don't understand my kindness. And you. I hate you too. Did you get the pony joke?
Shock jock. Gonna have to bleep that.
Oh, you're gonna have to bleep that.
Indeed I am. Indeed I am. It is episode number 54, and we will begin it after this guy. You know this guy. Say something.
I can't. I don't want to step on dude.
Okay, you done? This guy.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Feel free to talk.
Car 54, where are you?
Quit hanging up on me when I sing to you.
I have never laughed so hard. You totally went into the actual song, theme song of Car 54, and I just hung up. And I laughed so hard.
Not funny.
Hysterical from this end.
You know, yeah, well, on this end, it kind of hurts.
How long did it take you before you even noticed?
I did three scenes. No, I imagine
episode
it will be.
Six,
it will be.
Two.
It will be the Easter egg because, yeah, I recorded it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, what we should explain is
so
this.
Did it make a noise when I hung up?
I will insert a noise for comedic purposes.
Oh, man, that'll be great.
But you see, people should know the whole thing was horribly awkward. And you're not allowed, listen, you're not allowed to fast forward to the end of the show and fast forward through 60 seconds of silence to get to it. You have to listen to the show.
Wait, me?
No, I'm talking to the listener.
I do listen.
I know. But you can't have your pudding if you don't eat your meat, all right?
So you can't have your cake if you don't have your cookies.
You see, well, that doesn't make any sense either. But
no.
What happened is this, is I was so excited, and this is subtext that even though it's not mentioned is very real, is that last week, Katie got on me for being late.
Oh, so, don't think I don't know what you did.
So this week I was
you
early.
You called me early.
I called you early. And you know what I thought? I thought that's not as passive aggressive as it is me showing good faith.
No.
And it's passive aggressive. Oh, that's aggressive?
That's not passive aggressive. That's not showing good faith. That is aggressive.
So is it hateful?
Robbie, that's hateful.
So we were going to meet at 4:30. And I went and picked
4:12. You called me at 4:12.
Because I had to pick Robert up at adventure camp at 4 o'clock, right?
Is that
what?
From his adventure at the wax museum?
Stop it. We'll get to that. And by the way, there's so many things that I had not written down that must be addressed. It's not so much that I'm in crisis now, but my life is crumbling.
Right.
All Katie has wanted to do for like 3 weeks now is interview either of my children. And I can't book my kids for my podcast. They live in this house. It's not like I'm trying.
I don't remember what I wanted to interview them for anyways.
Well, Julia went to met the Fallout Boy.
Oh, right.
And we wanted to hear about that and Carrie getting groped by Pete Wentz. I showed the picture. I showed
it was
the
an accident, but not an accident.
I showed the picture of Pete Wentz going for Carrie's breast to the dentist, actually the hygienist this week. And she said, she was impressed that Carrie got a chance to meet Fallout Boy. And I said, oh, there's a picture. And I said, here it is. And I showed them. showed them. Showed her them. I showed her the photograph of Carrie and Fallout Boy. And Pete Wentz, just so you know, is on Carrie in a piggyback fashion and not shy. If there is a shy version of
a tiny guy,
he is.
He's a little fella,
like a wedding cake size guy. He could stand up there and wave and wear eyeliner, little tiny eyeliner. So he's I'm goth. I'm very emo up here on the third layer. You'll freeze it, need it on your anniversary. But the thing is that he, if there is a shy, retiring, polite way to be piggybacked, he's not doing that. He's really into it. And so I showed the picture to the dental hygienist, who has no reason to think for any stretch of her imagination that Carrie and I are not perfectly happy in our marriage. And so even though we come separately to the dentist, this plays like, because, you know, you would think, well, goodness, if they're happily married, she's not running around and messing with a rock star, being a trailer park Annie. And so,
I don't know that Pete Wentz jumping on her back. Well, hold on.
So
let me go ahead.
The photograph is, I show the dental hygienist the photograph, and she goes from a big smile from knowing that she's going to see something cool of Carrie and a big rock star. Look at it, and her face literally falls. And she says, well, that's, oh, he's really grabbing on, isn't he? And I'm down there, and I've got
her
a bib.
Dear wife.
I've got a bib on and a thing in my mouth going, sucking my face in. And I go, and I believe what I said was something, my apologies for stealing a Bill Cosby bit, but it was something to the tune of, she's a very big fan, and she was very enthusiastic, and he was very eager to jump right on her back and, you know, hold on tight.
It's the first thing he found.
That's, well, yeah. I mean, what happens when you sit
it's
on a roller coaster?
Like, you have to look hard for them.
No, no. You could. If
you're
we're,
a very blessed man.
If we record this, use a different choice of words. But for example, if you get in a roller coaster, you pull down the safety bar. If you jump on Carrie's back, you grab for whatever you can. So, but as it stands, Carrie and I are still happily married and still sharing a dentist. If we were to divorce, I don't know who would get custody of the hygienist. But that's not why I brought you here. You wanted to book Julia and Carrie to talk about the Fall Out Boy experience. You wanted to book Robert to talk about Adventure Camp.
But Adventure Camp, well,
Adventure Camp?
It wasn't over until today.
Today was the last day of 15 sessions.
Right. I thought, so I did very briefly get to speak to Robert before he went off to the fair.
Very busy, because after Adventure Camp, he had to come home, shower, because he's just soaking in chlorine.
Well,
and then,
and boys that age just stink.
I know, but now it's stinking chlorine. And by the way, they're still on Savannah's Best Music. It's stinking chlorine.
Hi, I'm Stink.
And I'm Chlorine. Good morning.
Savannah's Best Music.
And that's how they would say it would be an image liner that doesn't even make sense.
Nope.
Not on the station with the best music in Savannah. It's stinking chlorine on Savannah's Best Music.
Yes.
Tune in tomorrow at 8:20.
They're more like mascots.
Yes. Symbols, if you will. And I will. So he had to come home at 4:10 to grab a fast shower because he's off to the Loudoun County Fair. He's going to enter his bowl. He's not raised any livestock.
You said a bowl. I thought you said a bowl. And I was like, now he's into pottery?
Yeah. Or smoking pot.
Oh, did he find it?
On top of the fridge. He did.
Giant bowl.
And I said, hey, not for you. That's for when dad sparks up.
Right.
So.
As if.
Yeah, because I love pot.
Right, Rob.
So.
You crazy kid, you.
So he had to go, and he's going to the Loudoun County Fair. But you see, he's going, I guess he's going to do like rides and stuff, you know, like they, because it's a pretty big fair.
Do they like get tickets and they have to wait in line and they go up on the.
And I said, are you going to get me a gift?
Tilt-a-whirl.
Because Carrie left him out a 20 spot. And
really?
And I kicked in a couple bucks myself. I said, you don't need to tell your mom about this. And, you know, go have fun. And I said, are you going to get me?
When he comes back and says, Dad, the hooker was so great.
You know what? For $26?
She was the lady from the dry cleaners.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
That's a $45. Yeah, but you wouldn't need to put any extra starch in it, I tell
you
that.
Tags on his... Hello, Grandma.
Put a sticker.
Put all these tags on his collar.
Yeah, they put the sticker on that says stain. So I couldn't get him to talk about Adventure Park. I laid this on him. I said, whatever you do with the money, have fun. You're not allowed to bring home anything living. Because two years ago, Julia went to
the goldfish
county fair and just kept winning goldfish. And most of them didn't make it to the ride home. They went from vertical to horizontal in the time it took to drive from Lovettsville to Leesburg.
You know what? I remember when this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Did one or two make it home?
If that. And they're too small to fillet. I mean, there's really all you
they're
can do.
They're not tasty.
No. Because I imagined they would be crispy and taste like cheddar cheese. But that's apparently a different variety of goldfish.
Different variety.
The cracker. So I said, you're not allowed to bring home anything living. It would be nice if you brought me a gift. And he said, what would you like? I said, well, what do you think?
Can I have a couple guesses?
Sure.
Corn dog.
It came up.
I know you too well.
As did the possibility of a funnel cake.
Funnel cake.
I said, no,
funnel
Robert, cake. Anything that is fried is not going to travel well. So what I want you to get me is a sport jacket. And he said, but they're like crazy expensive.
Are you kidding?
I said, you don't have to give me anything.
God bless that boy.
But I just thought it was funny. Some 12-year-old kid running around the
He's
county
so
fair
strong.
But I need to find a sport jacket real bad.
There's got to be a Joseph A. Banks booth somewhere.
Can you find me to the big and tall tent?
Just take a tent.
Exactly. Omar the tent maker. So he's off, so I couldn't book him. Julia and Carrie. So... Carrie's playing an away game today because, you know, Jones of New York, all the stores are closing.
Right.
And she's at Arundel Mills Mall, and it's a great mall. So Julia is with her at the mall, and Julia's going to take in a movie and shop the stores and go to Hot Topic. I don't know, whatever the kids do.
Wait, didn't you? You're supposed to send me.
Yeah, you should have gotten it.
Okay, hold on. I turned my ringer off so I can.
Well, because that's your pro broadcaster.
Right. I don't chew gum.
That's right. You don't say bad words.
Well.
But so they're away. So here I am alone. And I've got no guests for you today. Sorry,
Rob,
buddy.
I have no idea who that's supposed to be.
I know, right? But Carrie took a picture
of
some
t-shirt. Wait. Hold on. It says on the...
Oh, there's a name on it? See, Carrie took her break. We have to explain. Carrie took her break with Julia, and they did go to Hot Topic. And she took me a picture of some tank top that apparently she's into. There's no.
I'm trying to get context clues. If you blow it up.
Oh, it's the guy. I know who it is.
There's a shirt right behind it that says American Horror Story.
It's the guy from American Horror Story that she likes.
Rob.
What?
Use your noodle.
Use your noodle. I'm not even Italian. What are you? Pasta? Pasta jokes now? Really?
I can't be bothered with you. And you're wearing your glasses, for Pete's sake.
You know what? This week has been a bad week for my vision. All right.
Why?
Well, because I'm crumbling as a human and the vision is going. I've gotten to a point. This is too visual, I know, but everything I pick up to read now, I used to just be able to pick it up and read it. Now it's this. I pick it up and I can't see and I have to get it in the light because more light is going to help. It doesn't. And then I tilt it. And then I bring it close and then further away. I just can't see anymore. So now I'm wearing my glasses.
You do that thing every kid has seen their parents do, reading a magazine or a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Where they sit down and they kind of open it up.
Yep.
All right. And then they do that number where it's like a far away, real close, and then they kind of zoom in
and out until it's just right.
And then you can't touch anything. And it's, you know what? No,
you can't even breathe. If you breathe, you're not going to be able to see what's on the page.
So you sound like Kevin Meaney. Can't see what's on the page. You did. But here's the deal. At least I look great in my glasses.
Yes, you do.
So it's not, you know, I'm not doing anything bad for the lady folks out there. Or anybody. Anyone who enjoys a good-looking man. It's just
right.
I'm unaccustomed to wearing them is all.
That's why I had to move to Savannah.
I just couldn't trust yourself.
It would be better for me.
For everybody.
For everybody!
And everything is going well in Savannah except for the backyard?
Yeah. We expanded the graveyard this year, or this week.
It was a graveyard smash.
Right, actually, I brought Dan in because...
Oh, so you booked a guest? Way to rub it in. Well,
I have Presley and Judd here.
Can he come over?
Which one?
Dan!
Oh, Dan, can you come over?
Oh, Danny boy.
Has that always been that long?
Yeah, you don't usually play all of it, though.
Okay. It was nice. It just seemed lengthy. Hi, Dan. How you been?
Not too bad. How are you?
Gotta get closer, baby.
It's good to see you. Don't careful. She don't bite. Do you want anything from the fair?
Yeah, so you think. Depends on how much I've had to drink.
Do you need cheese? Do you want any Loudoun County cheese?
Did you get cheese when you went to the store?
I did not.
Okay, can we add that to the list?
Put it on the list.
Okay.
Some smoked Gouda.
So,
yes.
What day was it that this all started? Was it Sunday?
Saturday or Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Definitely a weekend.
Yes.
Absolutely a weekend, because we were home.
Yes.
And just kind of cleaning up around the house. Sorry, yeah. I totally stole Dan's drink. I didn't think he would notice.
Now, what is that? You've already had two drinks in front of you.
That's tea!
And a can of something?
Well, my can of something is empty of anything.
Okay, when I said you already had, there was an implication of past tense included.
Yeah.
What did you steal? It was a Miller Lite, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why would you steal that?
It's all we have.
You should break into a store and put some Miller Lite back. That's what you should do. Now, you two live in that house. I know you've got two dogs. But yes. You got that spacious house, and you two are relatively tidy. I can't imagine cleaning the house is a big issue.
No, we're still trying to unpack some stuff, and okay. My parents are coming this week.
Okay, good.
My mom and my dad are coming.
All right.
So I'm really, really excited, and I just want to make sure that, you know, they're very comfortable.
Sure.
It's kind of been a rough year for them.
Understood.
So I really want them to just be able to kind of relax and kick back and have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we were... unpacking everything in the guest room, getting everything ready, making sure there's no boxes to look at, just to kind of make it nice.
Sure.
And we hear howling. So the guest bedroom in the back of it sits in the like the if there are windows.
How much of that beer did you drink?
I'm trying to explain this. So the guest bedroom kind of sticks off to the side of the house.
Okay.
So there are windows to the backyard, to the side, and to the front of the house.
Okay, I understand. There's windows on three sides of the room.
Yes. So we're in
there. Was that so hard?
It was for a second.
Sure was.
So, and we hear howling.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of howl.
It's not the sounds of happiness?
No, it's not the sound of joy.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
as it were, it's a serious howl.
Is it like a protective howl?
Kind of.
Is it?
Yeah, there's like a rrr in the back of it, and Judd is in on the business.
So oh.
And we can hear a bird that sounds more like it's barking than it's chirping.
Are you sure it's just not a small dog, a small yes. flying dog?
Frankie visited.
He doesn't fly.
No.
Mike throws him, but he doesn't fly.
One time he got a lift from an eagle.
That's right. Just a help out. Little help out.
Yeah. a boosty.
So, a little booster, sir?
So we run outside. Well, we
So
we run
both dogs are inside, though.
No, they're out back.
Oh, okay.
We can hear them.
Now I understand. All right.
So we run to the back door, and I stop because I can see through the back door. It's all glass, and I was like, uh-uh, no way. No, 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 no.
Right.
Dan, get them inside. And he's like, well, you have to help me. I'm like, oh, no, I can't be a part of that.
Well, what did you see? What did you spy with your little eye?
Something dead and fuzzy.
I'm dead.
And I'm fuzzy.
On Savannah's Best Music.
So
it's fuzzy. Is it the barking bird?
No, it's a baby bird.
I love baby bird.
The barking bird is like the mama bird.
And she is none too pleased with the death of the baby bird.
No, but she has also spent the past week dive bombing.
Yeah, have you determined what kind of bird she is yet?
No.
I think it's a cat
bird. We have spoken of the bird before.
Yes, we have.
There's
As a matter
mean,
of fact,
mean bird.
The bird is the word.
That you heard.
That's right.
So we get the dogs inside. And here's the thing. They weren't interested in the dead bird.
Did they have their mouths, the perimeter of their mouths, were their feathers like in a Little Rascals short?
No.
When Petey kills like a chicken?
No, and they weren't.
And I withdraw that. Petey never killed the chicken. The rich guy's dog killed the chicken. Petey was a good dog.
Petey's a good boy.
Yes, sweet boy.
No, and they were not interested in it at all.
Right.
So that happens. We get the dogs inside, and they're like, what's going on? There's a whole to-do in the backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. So we get them inside, and we're like, you guys are inside for a while. Give you a treat so you settle down.
Right.
Oh, the treat might have the word calm in front of it.
That kind of treat.
Yes.
This kind of treat is from the company that makes Benadryl.
We've got lots of work to do. Let's give them calmers. So, true.
It's understandable.
So Dan goes and he disposes of the bird.
All right, let's have him step in for a second. Dan, what method do you use? Is it a paper plate cut in half so that you can scoop it? Do you use a rubber glove? How do you dispose? How do you dispatch of the bird corpse?
We have a shovel.
Bird shovel.
Scoop it up with the shovel.
Yeah. Is it a like a full-size garden shovel?
Yeah.
Square-fronted or pointed?
Pointed.
You see, I'm just painting a picture for the audience.
And what did you do with the first bird? The one that was in front of, it was kind of on the patio area. Mm. What did you do with that one?
Chucked it over the fence into the alleyway.
Common area.
I actually didn't know that.
Hey, you just found that out. That's what's great when taped radio is actually happening live.
Well, I would not say chalked. I got it just over the fence. So
I honestly thought that you would have put it like out in the garbage bin.
And by the way, he's really trying to save that lie. And that's a lie because if you have a full length shovel with a bird in it, there's no gingerly putting it over and turning it like a roadrunner contraption. You used a catapult motion. Guarantee it.
Just a little flip.
How tall is our fence? Rob, I'm with you on this one. Dan, tell him how tall our fence is.
Probably 6 or 7 feet.
Yep. You catapulted it.
I made sure
it just fell right over because I didn't want it to go in the road.
I understand. Because you didn't want to hurt it?
Nah. Well, more just other people walk their dogs in there. I didn't want them to like.
Okay. Because then they could eat the bird, dead bird. No one wants that.
I don't know. Like, Presley and Judd were just not interested in the dead bird.
Well, you know what? They're like a hunting variety, but they're not a variety of dog that kill. They spot, right?
Yeah, they pull up one little paw, their little nose goes down, their tail goes up.
And then the dentist shoots the lion. That's how it works.
Too soon.
It is too soon. I take that back.
Thank you.
But
moment of silence.
We have plenty of them.
Aha! So, it's all right, you'll cut it out. So about an hour later, Presley is like asking to go outside. So I'd heard the bird out there, like the big bird. And he's like, where's my Snuffleupagus?
Snuffleupagus is there too?
No.
I hate big bird.
I heard the big
bird. See why I didn't put it in the trash can?
Kind of making a commotion about the whole thing.
Right.
but I didn't, it didn't occur to me that there might be other baby birds.
Oh, true. Very true.
So then we hear another commotion from the dogs and not like they're just running and playing, but I'm on freak out mode because of what has just happened.
Sure. Well, you have between the bird and the dog and you, you have the most developed brain. So you're probably the one that's able to think ahead to what could happen.
One would hope.
Right.
So I look out from the guest bedroom window. I look out and I don't see the dogs, but I see something fluffy on the ground.
Is it moving? Does it seem to be animate?
No.
Oh, it's inanimate.
But the dogs are over on the other side of the yard just playing and everything. And I was like, so if the thing moves, like, are they going to, what's going on? So I'm like, Dan, you have to go look at it. I can't go. I hate birds. Birds are the worst. They're just flying rodents. Go see. There's something out there.
Point of order. Bats are flying rodents.
So are birds.
No, birds are different. They're gross. They can be gross.
They're flying dinosaurs.
That's right.
They're flying dinosaurs. That's Mom. Right. We moved down here and I was promised no dinosaurs.
You know what happened, Judd?
What?
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
No, we just have all kinds of little dinosaurs everywhere. Some of them are fluffy. Some of them are green.
Have you ever seen your dad throw a dinosaur over the fence?
Don't tell Mom. What he said.
But he catapulted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like a launch pad.
Yeah. Do you know what else is a kind of dinosaur?
Mm-mm.
A chicken?
Hmm?
A chicken is a kind of dinosaur.
Why? We don't have those.
Not yet. It could happen. It starts with lizards and birds.
Mr. Rob, a chicken could probably pick me up.
Well, maybe a chicken would be your friend.
I don't think so.
Hey, how do you like eggs? Do you like eggs?
No.
All right, I think we're done here.
Okay, bye, Mr. Bob.
Bye, Judd. Thanks for coming in. And now let's transition. WABC. So you see a dead bird or a dead fluff on the, not the carpet, the
yard. I will turn this back over to Dan because he had to also handle situation number two.
Okay. Dan, do you agree with everything she said so far?
Yes. I went out and identified it as a not so much living bird. And
do you feel that it was kin? Was it the brother or sister? Was it a sibling to the first dead bird?
It bear a striking resemblance.
Yeah, it's the nose, I think.
Boar.
Yeah,
that's what everyone says about this show. They looked alike. Birds, flying rodents. So when you determined, I imagine it really didn't matter its heritage. So once you determined it was dead, what happened?
He had a similar fate to the first bird where he was given another opportunity to fly. And
you can check it out on Netflix. It's the new Dan Von Herman movie, One Last Flight, in which he grants the wish to many small birds.
Now, at this point, because of all the... There's kind of like hubbub over near this one tree. And at this...
All right, let's figure this out. Was it hubbub? Did it ever get to the point of a brouhaha?
No, just a little hubbub. Because
it could easily develop into a Brannigan.
Bird number two had fallen from a tree. So it wasn't like at the patio area. It was directly below where the mean-spirited bird had been flying around.
Were you able to determine if there was a nest up there?
Yes, there's a couple of, I don't know, there's a couple of sort of nesty looking things up there, so I don't know what is recent, what is old. It's a very mature tree.
And it's Miss Jackson if you're nesty.
Yes. So.
You know, my first name ain't baby. It's Janet. I'm sorry, go ahead. So
Well, we are part of a rhythm nation.
That's right. we're totally out of rhythm right now.
Absolutely.
Give me a beat.
We are not beat.
So your feeling is that the birds, the baby birds, have fallen out of one of the nests.
I think that this is, I told Dan I thought it was that this was learning to fly day.
Much like in Italy.
and that it wasn't that it
very
wasn't
timely
going well.
With the Foo Fighters reference, Dan. Nice.
Is that not awesome?
That was great. Check it out on today's Mike O'Mara Show Audio Vault. Today's date is the 28th of August.
So I thought maybe it was like Learning to Fly Day, but yeah. Like maybe the I really don't know. But then Dan.
But the mother was a bad judge of skills.
It wasn't going well.
Well, Dan had a different theory.
What's your theory, Dan?
Well, I believe it was somewhere around Learning to Fly Day, but I think the dogs may have exacerbated the first jump by causing a ruckus, either of the parent birds moving around and being mad, or just
but the
jumping
nests,
up and scaring them.
But the nests
decided.
Are so high, I don't even think the little baby birds would have the instinct to know to be scared of the dogs down below. You know what I think you've got? I think you've got...
The parent birds were making a huge ruckus.
Well, of course, because their kids are dead. But
No. Before, for the week leading up to the day of all of the incidents.
Sometimes the answer is in the question. The bird is a bad parent.
Oh, yeah. Terrible mother.
It's like the Joan Crawford bird. And
no wire hangers.
Yeah, and it said, you know what? You want out? Get out. And this was building up to this, and then the mother pushed the bird out.
Well, no, what Dan is saying is that maybe it's close to Learning to Fly Day, so they've got like a little chutzpah in them. Because they seemed developed, like they had feathers.
You said
they
fuzz.
Where the fuzz turns to feathers, they were kind of at that sort of in-between stage, like they wouldn't quite be ready to fly.
This story
but
is changing.
They probably had a lot of oomph behind them.
This story is changing, and I'm having to wonder now, Katie, if perhaps you had something to do with the death, and this is a cover-up.
I have no words for you right now. Let's be clear. I don't like birds. I would have nothing
motive.
To do.
That's motive.
No, I would never like get near one. I think they scare me.
Both times.
That's why they had to die.
That's right. That's right. They mustn't do any more harm. Dan, here's a question for you. I'm going to cross-examine. Both times when you were called out to do your famous catapult maneuver that will be, as I said before, filmed and released in the Netflix documentary One Last Flight, when you were brought out to do it, Katie called you both times, and both times the birds were already dead, right?
Correct, yes.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
No, there's bird number three. We're not done.
Oh, my God. What? I'm sorry. There's
you
more?
You thought there were only two?
I thought there was only two.
Actually, in your defense, I'm still not sure that bird number two and bird number three weren't the same bird.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a lot of times sociopaths do this by trying to make the blame on someone else. Dan, do you swear that there were two birds that were disposed of in the magical catapult of flight?
At least two birds were disposed of.
Okay. Okay. What? Talk to me about bird number three.
Okay. So after bird number two was disposed of, go back to working in the guest room. And at this point, I'm just kind of peeping out the window because I'm paranoid.
And you don't want to get caught.
Right. So I peep out the window and I was like, Dan, I think there's another one. Oh, my God. We have killers. And Dan's like, we don't have killers. They're out there, but there's just a bird on the ground.
Yeah.
So.
Bird number three, the proximity, was it under a nesty thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Same area as number two, give or take.
Yeah, like maybe a foot or two away from bird number two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. What Dan didn't realize was that when he chucked bird number two, he actually chucked bird number two into the neighbor's patio. He didn't realize that's where the fence was shared.
Now, Dan, is this true?
Yeah. I understood it was going into their yard. I thought
Dan!
It was going onto the side of where their garage was.
Why but then what is the beauty?
Into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, really, what's the advantage of taking it out of one yard and putting it in another when you have, it really goes in the alley? Or maybe, you know, I hate to be this guy, maybe the trash can.
Thank you, Rob.
You see, I'm not familiar enough with the layout that the alley might have been a valid solution, but never another person's yard.
It was right over the fence. I'd say it's common area.
Here's the best part. Neighbor on that side, little old lady, Miss Jane.
Did she see him do it?
No.
I don't think she can see a whole lot.
Ah, screw it. It'll be fine. She'll, you know what? Won't be long before we're throwing her over a fence.
She's helping out the cat.
Yeah, she does have a really mean cat, Mr. Teetsy.
Nothing on that joke?
I wasn't even listening to you.
Said it won't be long before we're throwing her over a fence.
She's moving.
Hold a mirror under her nose.
Right.
It's when she's not moving that you got to worry.
But I'm pretty sure she did not throw the bird back over the fence.
Oh, so your theory is that bird number two was returned?
I'm not positive.
And she got it within 1 foot of the original resting place?
I think that bird number two and bird number three are actually two and three, not bird number two, bird number two.
Or number two did learn to fly. Just not for long.
Just for a minute.
Okay, here's my thoughts. I think, Katie, you are innocent on a technical. Are there any more corpses?
No, but
we need to break.
At this point, the thing is I don't think our dogs have killed the birds because they're not having anything to do with them.
Here are my judgments, if you're ready to accept them, and if you want them, I will give them.
In 1 second.
All right.
I did originally just blame the dogs. My God, they're killers.
Right.
This is more
they did. And you know what? The judgment that I'm going to issue does not excuse them from killing the lizards.
Okay. I will say also, the lizard that I saw Presley kill with her own paws.
Yes.
Was a tiny little baby lizard, like maybe 2 inches long.
Okay.
These birds, like sort of almost the size of a baseball.
What? That can't be.
No, they were chubby little birds.
Then they died of, maybe they overate?
Maybe that's a thing. They were too fat to fly.
And by the way, that's the name of my autobiography. I'm going to need an extender.
No, I need your theory.
Okay, the judgments. You're innocent, but it was close. The burden of proof was on you, and we just couldn't make it happen. The birds are probably dead because of the mother. Whatever happened is the mother's fault. There were three birds.
Blame the mother.
There were three birds. The dogs are absolutely innocent. And Dan, you're up on littering charges.
The city of Savannah would like to speak to you.
I'm glad we got that worked out. Lock your door tonight. And also sleep with a thing because, you know, ghosts and goblins. The bird murderer might...
Doors matter with ghosts?
Well, I put the birds on the doorstep.
What?
You put the birds on the doorstep.
Oh, three little birds.
Wow. And also, Granny might come over.
That's a great song.
Granny might come over with her crochet needles. Kill you.
We are supposed to go to a goodbye potluck for her on Sunday.
I'm going to make
chicken.
Like little quails?
I got the invitation too. The party is called The Final Goodbye. And it's going to be nice. Everything's going to be great. I promise.
You're black.
Yeah. We got you a beautiful box. All right, we must break. Just be careful. And Dan, no more dead things on other people's land.
I'll see what I can do.
Good. Focus on the mailbox. We'll be back.
Not his problem anymore.
I know.
Otherwise, the birds would have gone in there.
Go to break.
We win. We'll be back. It's Kate and Cookie. All right, before we start segment two, traditionally the most popular segment of every episode, I think we dropped the ball on setting up the Easter egg at the front of the show. And let me just say this. When you get to the end of the show, and remember, you're not allowed to fast forward there, what happened is, because I was trying to call early, I called you on your work Skype.
Yes.
And then I hit record. So the whole thing was awkward because it is that you were thrown that I was getting to you in an improper way.
Oh, I was not okay with it because I was actually like telling my coworkers goodbye.
Yes.
I was like, have a great weekend. I'm about to sign off Skype. If you need me, hit my cell phone. And then do, 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 do. And it says Rob Spiewak. And I was like, no.
Not here. And you wouldn't even talk to me. That's why you hung up on me while I was singing Car 54.
That's what you can tell yourself.
All right. Well, listen, it's very hot. It's very, very hot here. It's very hot there. So I wanted to find an appropriate summertime jingle to start out. Oh, so when you listen...
Can you hear the banging?
Dan's not even in the room.
It's not Dan. It's Presley. It's almost 6 o'clock in like clockwork.
Oh.
She starts banging her bowl around the kitchen.
I haven't heard it yet, but we will keep our fingers crossed. So when you listen to the Easter egg, the reason that Katie is bothered is that I shouldn't be calling on that Skype. Anyway, here it is, nearly August, sizzling hot outside. Play that summertime jingle.
Happy holidays from KVIL.
That's not a summertime jingle.
Season's greetings, Dallas, Fort Worth, KVIL.
Season's greetings, Dallas, Fort Worth.
All hits all summer long on WAVA.
That one's better. Are you doing okay in this?
CJJ.
Oh, we can do one of them. Yeah, we can do them. Ready? Here, I'll run it over the music. We can do that.
1630 KCJJ.
Posted it out.
Oh, that was smooth.
Tight and bright and out of sight. How are you dealing with the summertime heat? Hold that thought. Here's Dude Walker.
He's cake. She's cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Indeed it is. Cake and Cookies, a weekly podcast that reminds you that your life isn't so bad. In comparison, I'm Rob Spiewak.
Oh, look at you starting the show.
Yeah, because you were complaining that we had never started the show, so I guess everything up till now has just been what, pre-show?
Yes.
Okay. They're not buying it.
Okay.
I contend that the show begins when we play the Dude Walker tape.
Okay.
Actually, well, it begins with the hateful thought.
I would like to thank Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Tony Boom Boom Bloom.
I agree. I'd like to thank Rob and Joe. Stars of the Robin Shoujo.
I have nothing to say to that.
You can be cordial. Your co-workers, you know.
Again.
Look at you.
I don't even know what to say to
you
that.
You are so driven by disdain right now.
All right. I'm filled with hate.
Let's change the topic.
WABC.
So, look at my head.
That, like, do you know how the hateful thought got started? Have I ever told that on the show?
I believe you have.
Okay.
But you know what? If you can give it to us again, that'd be nice. Are you all right?
Yes. Okay, so I don't have a door to my office. I have a curtain.
Sure.
Presley was trying to go out through the curtain while Judd came in, and they couldn't see each other.
Did they
just
collide?
Ran into each other, and they both, like, skittered.
Do you remember last week one of our questions was the stupidest thing your dog has ever done?
That's pretty close.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's finishing in the money. It might not be a winner, but it's definitely at least place or show.
It's up there.
So quickly, tell us how the hateful thought began.
I was working at a couple of different jobs, and I was walking through the hallway, and Mike comes through, and
Mike
most
O'Mara.
People would always... Huh?
Mike O'Mara.
Mike O'Mara.
Right.
The Mike O'Mara of The Mike O'Mara Show and The Mike O'Mara Radio Enterprise.
Mike O'Mara,
hello,
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. More broadcasting, as indicated by this production element.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
We only play it at the beginning and end of every show. There's no word enterprise in there.
Okay.
So you met Mike O'Mara.
Well.
And he said, who's this good-looking young lady?
I'd known him for years, and he
you
was
felt like you'd known him for years.
He was expecting my normal sunshiny, yay, hello, how are you, Mike?
Right.
And he's like, hey, Katie, how are you? And I was like, I am filled with hate. And he was completely taken aback.
Threw him
says,
off.
Oh, and he's on his way into the studio to start the Mike O'Mara show.
Yeah, kind of an odd time, a less than excellent time to hit someone with something like that.
So because Mike is very quick on his feet, he
indeed.
Goes, okay, harness that. I'm going to bring you in a minute. And I was like, what? Fine. And like, I couldn't even, I was just so, had a really bad day.
Yes. What job prompted that? Was it the bookstore job?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's how the hateful thought began.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And
now, he just kept asking me, so what do you hate?
And you know, it's selfish and self-serving, but I do have a favorite hateful thought.
The one where I hated you?
I loved that one.
Really?
I thought it was great.
That was one of the hardest ones for me to get through because everyone in the studio was laughing so hard.
It was a winner. It was a winner.
I couldn't hear myself.
So do you want to talk about my head or do you want to talk about a jingle demo?
No, let's talk about, so we've discussed the shaving of your head before.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a big fan of the way that you shave it because you have a couple crinkles in the back.
Yes, I know.
That you never shave those very well. I feel like you just need to bend your head, like put your chin on your chest and get in there because they're like
all of them
spikes sticking out.
I know, but you see, it's tough. It's tough going when you shave the back of your head. And also when you start moving skin, there's always the trouble of maybe cutting yourself.
You ever shave a knee? I have two and I do it all the time.
I'd never have shaved my knee. I've never shaved my legs.
Well.
All right. Well, maybe we can both compromise. But here, I want to talk about the shaving of...
You're going to shave your knees?
No, I'll just try harder when I shave my head.
Okay, thank you.
But you get to a point when you shave your head that if it gets... I would say if your hair is an eighth of an inch long, you're okay with a razor. And of course, I use Harry's, who's a great sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. The best razors you've ever seen.
Don't subject yourself to the pink razor tax.
No. Oh.
Ladies.
Blah, 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 blah.
Ladies, you pay more because the razor is pink. There is no difference between the plastic razors they put in the pharmacy for geared towards ladies than there are to the ones that are yellow or green. Just
blue.
Go for Harry's. It's cheaper, it's better, and you're going to get a better shave.
And so I shave
True
my
story.
Head. And as long as I do it like every 3 or 4 days, I'm okay. But the problem is when the hair gets close to, say, a quarter inch in length, mm-hmm. then it's too long for a razor to handle. The razor gets gummed up, and it's not a procedure you can do. Because
well, you
there's
can.
Too much
you
hair.
Just have, you'd have to use like the buzzers, right?
The clippers.
Clippers.
Yeah, exactly.
The clippers go buzz.
Yes, they do. That's right. That sounds like you're describing that house that you delivered with the bee's nest. Clippers go house. Buzz. So couple weeks ago, I really pushed my luck and I shaved my head when my hair had probably a day and a half too much growth on it. And
what happens?
It just, your razor gets all gummed up because of all the hair and
soap.
So
you don't get like cut or like chopped
no,
up.
No. And I figured out the way to not destroy your head. And I've had cuts on my head pre-Harry's days, by the way. Harry's razors do not slice you open. But when you cut your head, you bleed. Oh, how you bleed. And I was learning how to shave because it's a different strategy. I've been shaving my face since I was in eighth grade, freshman in high school, right? But not every day. But that's when I started. And so it's a different strategy with your head.
Just twice by the time I was 20, but then.
That's right. But then it was something. But the problem when you shave your head is I am so used to shaving my cheeks and chin and my neck that I can actually put a fair amount of pressure when I shave, right? To get a closer shave because I know what I'm doing. If you apply any pressure on your head, it's going to look like you're serving Parmesan shavings on top of spaghetti. You're going to pull off skin. It's nasty. So what you need to do is just let the natural weight of the razor do the cutting and just slide it over your head. Okay. And that's one of the reasons why it's so tough when you shave the back of your head, especially if you have a wrinkle or two back there. To really get in there, you need to push. And if you're not precise, you're going to slice. That's almost like something.
It's not exactly like manipulative.
And you can't, see it.
Skip right.
Right. And
I guess I can try to start giving you a pass on that one.
Well, you know what? Luckily, you mostly only see my face.
True.
So there you go. So what I have figured out is that when I'm shaving my head, I need to just very gently do it frequently. But this was a busy week. And also when you get up in the morning, sometimes you just don't feel like lathering up your head. Bad enough to put shaving cream on your face, but I've got to take a fair amount of shaving cream.
Like the white foamy shaving cream?
It's gel. It's a gel. It's canned gel that comes out and then foams up when you... Also Harry's brand.
At some point, would you take a picture
of when I'm lathered up?
Yes.
You'd love that, wouldn't you?
You don't even know how much I would love that.
Maybe this weekend, if you're good. Or maybe tonight after a few cherries.
It looks similar to the ghost of the Ghostbusters logo.
Oh, actually bring it to a point.
Yes.
I was imagining sort of a tight fro. You know, just like...
But I want the beard lather as well with the head lather.
Oh, I thought you just wanted head lather.
I want the whole thing.
Okay. We'll see if you're good. I'm keeping my shirt on, though.
That's fine.
You bet it is.
Well, I guess it would be kind of messy. You probably go shirtless. Or do you wear a smock?
Apron. A shaven apron.
Shaven apron.
Shaven apron. No, I do tend to shave shirtless. But anyway, we're getting away from the topic. Okay. So sometimes I don't feel like shaving my head in the morning because, frankly, with the size of my head, I'm tripling the real estate that I've got to shave. And I just don't do it as often as I should. So Thursday of this week, I looked and it was too long. It was like a quarter inch long, the hair. And I said, I can't do this. So I've got to go see Mary.
The barber.
Yes. Now, Mary the barber, her name is Mary, like my name is Mary. There is no way in the world that this beautiful lady from a far distant eastern land was ever given the name Mary. I'm sorry.
She is a lovely name.
Yeah, but she's Asian. And I don't buy the fact that her name is really Mary.
You think she adopted the name?
I think
name
she
here.
Might have Americanized her name when she came to our shores. And she's fantastic. She does a great job, and she does the haircuts, and they still do like a little bit of a, and then they rub your face with a little tonic, nice. And they have the handheld massage unit, and they do your neck. They do a great job. I like this barbershop. I haven't been going there that often because I've been staying ahead and doing my own head shaving, but when I get past it, I have to go there.
So, now, do you have to make an appointment, or can you walk in and Mary's like, hey!
You walk in. Hello, sir! Hi, Mary. How are you? How are the kids?
Said, you go to Mary every time, or because you're a walk-in, do you go to other people?
No, I wait for her. Her I like. There's two other barbers there, but her I like a lot. And it's always the same. And I walked in, and you know what? Since it is walk-in, if there's 8 or 10 people ahead of me, I'll just move on and, you know, try another time. I got real lucky. I got almost immediate service. And I go and I sit down in her chair, and she ties the thing around my neck. And
so, okay, when they put the, okay, so is this like a barbershop where they put the apron?
The big smock, yeah.
The smock thing around you, but did they put the paper?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is like the real deal.
This is the real deal. And so I'm sitting there and we go through the same drill that I just said. I said, hello, sir. I said, hello, Mary. How are you? Everything is sung. I'm good. She said, you off work today? I said, and I was wondering, what if I sang back to her? She said, you off work today? I said, I only work till 1:30. But I never want to explain that I only work for an hour, 79 minutes a day. So I always have the same answer. He said, got off early. He said, okay, how are the kids? Haven't seen them. And I said, they're doing great, having a good time. He said, it's summer vacation. They're not going to school. I said, that's right. They're not going to school. And then there's the awkward pause, and she looks at me, and she says, same as last time? And of course I say yes, and then I start to think, all I have on my head is 3/8 of an inch of hair, maybe a quarter inch. There's nothing she can do except shave my head.
It's not.
I mean, really, it's just same as last time. What am I going to say? No, I want you to part it on the left, feather it.
Like asking if you want coffee and cream in your lemonade.
Exactly. So can you feather it back, part it in the middle? I want something like Sean Cassidy. Like
maybe tease it up a little.
Tease it a little. And I said, yep, short as you can. Let me see skin. And can you shave my beard? Or can you trim my beard? And, you know, I'm pretty religious. I can trim my own beard. It's easy. And it's technically a Van Dyke. All right.
It's nice because they do the.
Yeah. And also the nicest thing about when they trim your beard, it is always even and you don't have to clean up. And I don't like having to clean up after trimming a beard. Now, I have a set of clippers and I have trimmed my beard. But if I'm there anyway, heck, let's go ahead and get it done.
What the heck?
So she does my head. And this is a 3-step process. It starts with the main clippers, right? Then like the precision clippers that go a little closer. And then she pulls out almost like an electric razor.
Okay.
And she does that all over my head.
Okay.
And it does fine. And I'll still go home after that and the next day shave with a blade. But the fact is that she's removed 90% of what needs to be done, and it's ready for maintenance with a razor blade, okay?
Have you ever considered electric razoring your head?
I don't like electric razors.
Because you're old school.
No, it's not so much that. It's gross. They make hair dust. No one ever mentions this.
Okay.
And you got to empty them, and it's just hair dust, and it's ugh. Right?
That's gross.
Yeah, I mean, that hair that's being cut, it's got to go somewhere.
I don't...
See, okay. I should throw the question back at you. Have you ever considered an electric razor? Obviously not, because you don't know about the hair dust.
No, I was given one for, like, a Christmas, like a Lady Norelco or something like that.
Her husband, Lord Norelco?
No, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. The advertisement used to be Santa Claus driving around the North Pole in a razor. It's a great spot.
You don't remember
it, do you?
I don't know it.
I'll have to find it on YouTube. Show it to you. Wonderful commercial.
Of course it is. So I was given, and I tried it once, and it ripped off like a whole section of skin. And I was like, well, that's not going to work.
See, there you go. I'm not a fan.
Could it have been a user error? I'm not sure, but there was no dust. It was just... Yeek.
Katie Flakes. New from Kellogg's. Delicious Katie Flakes. But I'm not so old school. I'm not so old school that I use like a straight razor or a brush for my shaving cream.
Can you imagine shaving your head
with a straight razor?
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that.
I had a lady do it to me once.
Right, but can you imagine doing
not
that
by yourself? No.
Especially because you can't see in the back.
No, that would be done by a suicidal bald man. That's who would
Sweeney
do that.
Sweeney Todd.
Exactly. Thank
Sweeney
you.
Todd yourself.
So she gets to my beard, and she has trimmed my beard dozens of times, and she knows how I want it to look. And
can
she,
I?
What?
Can I take a guess at what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I've noticed your beard has turned white.
Okay, it's graying because I'm getting older.
The bottom is white. Your mustache part is still dark. So please continue.
This has nothing to do with the story. I'm just so pleased you brought it up. Yeah, I'm getting older.
No, that's why I did. That's why it actually took me a few weeks to notice that you had even grown this.
That's the reason we keep it so short, Katie, to not emphasize the gray. We're getting older. And I'd be really scared right now to grow my hair out to any sort of length because I imagine there's a lot of gray up there too. It won't gray on top.
There's a lot that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Right. There's no gray on top, certainly.
How come?
Because that's flesh colored. Because no hair grows there. Because that is the part of my head that's like Tatooine. There is nothing, it is barren. So, but at least it isn't gray.
Kansas isn't pink, but the top of your head is.
No room for gloves.
Because there's a globe in the glove box.
So she says, how short you want your beard? I said, just, you know, trim it up nice the way you normally do. Number one. Now, apparently... the guides that go on the clippers all have magic barbershop numbers. And
yeah, well, no, if you buy a set of clippers,
yeah,
and
but
I know
I
this
don't
is,
follow that. I don't know number one.
Well, no, I know this because of Dan, because he typically shaves like once every few months.
Of course. With the changing of the seasons.
Kind of.
Yeah.
That and like if he feels like scaring the bejesus out of me.
Vernal equinox.
Who is this guy?
Who is this clean-shaven man? But yeah, I know there are guides, but I don't... I have enough useless knowledge in my head. I don't follow...
I'm shocked. I am absolutely shocked and slightly disappointed that someone who is as meticulous about the shaving and all of that business, that you don't know what the numbers are. I even know what the numbers are.
All right, then is number one what I needed?
No.
I see.
Number one is like almost nothing.
I said, okay, number one. So she snaps it on. Neek, 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 neek. How's that? I said, it's too long. She said, number half? I said, sure, let's try it. And so off comes the one and snaps on the half. Neek, 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 neek. I said, still a little long. And then she looks at me almost disapprovingly and says, and this she doesn't sing. No guide for you. And she just freehands it. And that was perfect. And did that's what a barber should do. No, she used the clipper, but without a guide on it. She just trimmed it. Yeep, 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 yeep.
So you wanted it like really short.
Sure. If you're going to trim it, trim it.
Okay.
I generate a lot of hair. And it's going to come back. If she had shaved it off.
Is it?
There, yes. Okay. I got no hair on the top of my head, but say you wanted something on my back. That I can do. Nose.
I thought you got that electrolysis.
Yeah. And you know what? It's fighting back and winning.
Really?
Technology has nothing on my back.
So electrolysis doesn't work?
It helped. It lightened up.
For how long?
I don't know. The day is young. But I'm still growing lots of hair in my nose, ear. And you know what? Now she trims my eyebrows without even asking me.
Oh, that's good. If you let your eyebrows go, it winds up looking like little creatures, almost like Twiggy from the 60s.
Yeah, I don't want that. And I don't want to look like Andy Rooney. And what happens is, you know, you're in a chair and you kind of zone out. And I'm watching the TV there. And they've got on The Chew or some bad daytime television. And because it is essentially a live show, the closed captioning is like two sentences behind. So it's like science fiction. Is they're doing something that, and then when they read it, it's already happened. So it's messing with my head. So I'm trying to focus on how to make this raspberry drink that Mario Batali is making. But the pictures and the words aren't matching. And then I feel it coming, and she's like in a
That's
different...
That's not a maraschino cherry.
And then all of a sudden, she's standing in a place where she's not normally standing. And I feel, yeek, and my eyebrows have been shorn.
She doesn't warn you when she goes for your eyebrow?
Just zips in and does it. Zeek. Wow. But look how fantastic. Nice, right?
Well, there's a microphone in front of your face, so I'd... Oh, those are very...
Yeah.
Tight.
Yeah. Look, you see, and when I went into the barbershop, I looked like Joan Crawford. But anyway, I guess the point of my story is if you're going to do a podcast, prepare something better than a barbershop story. My second point is that don't ask me what number guide because I don't know. And the third point is if a guy comes in with basically no hair at all, don't ask him what he wants because there's only one thing you can do. That's all.
Can you just rub my scalp a little?
Yeah. I mean, can you give me some lotion? Oil it up.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Before we break, and we're up on one already, I know the time has just flown by and I hope it's one of yours.
While we're young, Rob.
I ran into a jingle demo that has one of my least favorite disc jockeys on it. And of course, it's Bruce Morrow, Cousin Brucey from New York City. The man that my dad listened to when my dad was growing up on WABC. A man who I have a framed picture of by my desk that says, to Cousin Rob, because everybody is cousin. But the problem is that Cousin Brucey is now on Sirius XM, and the man sounds like he's got both feet in the grave and he's headed south.
How old do you think he is?
He's probably close to 80, I would think. He's got to be past 70.
Back then they started really, really
young.
I
know his hair is only in its 50s. But he is in his 80s, I would guess. I'll find out and tell you before
but
the show is
over.
That's
a toupee, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's, yeah, this thing. If you put
it's
two.
It's a bad, bad, bad toupee.
If you put two googly eyes on it, it could get a sitcom on Disney. This is a notable toupee. But he did a jingle demo. Now, you know, in the past, we played the Scott Shannon jingle demo. We have played a Rick Dees jingle demo. I wanted you to hear Cousin Brucey selling the Do It Again jingles for CBS FM.
What year?
This is probably about 10 or 12 years ago. There's no copyright on it, so I don't know. But Cousin Brucey is legendary, and the jingles are great because they're designed to go with oldies packages, so they're lush, old-school jingles. I like to bring jingles to the show whenever I can, so here's Cousin Bruce Morrow telling you to do it again, cousins.
Hi, everybody. This is Bruce Morrow. That's right, your cousin Brucey. You know, great radio and great jingles have always gone together. It's like the icing on the cake, the cream on the pudding.
The cream on the pudding?
The older you get, the more reverb you need.
Right? I think he sounds great.
You know what I'm talking about. And that's why we're having so much fun with our new jam jingles here on New York's only station, WCBS-FM.
The best music on the best station. 101.1 CBS-FM.
Now you have to admit, those are pretty good sounding jingles.
Do you think those came from jams?
They are jam jingles. It's a jam demo. Absolutely. All you have to do is ask Cousin Brucey. Hi, I'm Cousin Brucey. I've always used jingles. I'm Cousin Brucey. Oh, let's hear more of the demo, please.
Say, cousins, do you remember how much fun radio used to be? Well, we're still doing it here at CBS-FM. You can't do, you know. Why not do it again? From Jam Creative Productions.
The greatest hits of all time.
It'll keep your station as fun and as exciting as the great music you play. Now, some of you might be wondering how this package would sound with a different station name or even a different logo melody.
Are you wondering how it would sound with a different logo melody?
I hadn't yet.
But I bet it's troubling you now.
Oh, absolutely. Can't get it out of my brain.
I think we can fix that.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry so much. It sounds great.
Oldies 98.
Here's another example with a different station logo.
Cool 102.
I'm not worried anymore.
You see, you're going to sleep well tonight. And you know what? As much grief as I give Cousin Brucey for being over the hill, he truly was one of the greatest. And what is so cool about this is sort of a last hurrah for jingles because they don't use them on current stations anymore. So they started catering to the oldies market. And these are great, great little songs.
Just listen to the lowest note.
Oh, I know. Oh, they're great. They're unreal.
Said Jam can do it for you. In fact, I've used Jam jingles for years on all of my radio stations and for my Cruise in America show. They really love radio. They love jingles. And you just can't find anybody better. That's why Jam is my number one choice for jingles always.
Do it again.
And the musical motifs are awesome.
It's time to have fun on the radio again. And you can do it again with Jam. Give Jam a call. Area code 214-388-5454. And get all the information about customizing this package to your station.
101.1 WCBS-FM, New York.
Come on, do it again.
One of my greatest joys of getting to travel to New York City with the Don and Mike show was listening to CBS-FM. Never have you heard a slicker presentation of great music. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys because I found that in all my stacks and stacks of jingles. And Cousin Bruce! And I hope you enjoyed it, cousins.
I loved it. I you know how I feel about it. I think I love to listen to jingle packages. Otherwise, I'd be like, Rob, stop with the jingles.
Stop. And I would say,
stop with the jingles.
I'm just trying to be like Cousin Brucey. So relax, cousin.
Okay. I'll relax.
That's it. Hey, you know what? We have your letters, and we will entertain your questions.
We have a special letter.
We have a snail mail letter that I think you all are going to enjoy. So we will entertain your questions, and hopefully you too, when we come back after this on Cake and Cookies.
So I need to take a covered dish, so I think you're the best person to ask.
This is for the funeral of your neighbor, right?
No, she's selling her house and moving away.
Yes.
So they're like the neighbors are all getting together and the invitation said bring your favorite covered dish. Now, it's a really small get together, but I don't know what to take.
Well, I think that tater tot casserole.
Do you not think it's too hot for a tater tot casserole?
Tater tot casserole knows no season. Tater tot casserole is an international favorite. And as long as you can get past the fact that the invitation didn't say bring Rob's favorite covered dish, I think you'll be okay. And it's easy and it's cheap. And you know what? Oh, how about this? Make it in a foil pan and then you don't even have a dish to wash. Just throw it away.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Oh, and I don't even have to bring home the leftovers to tempt me.
You see, I was afraid for a minute you were worried because you don't like the tater tot casserole, when in fact the problem is you like it too much.
Right. That's like, so on Tuesday.
You did it.
Tuesday is a real good news day.
Today is Tuesday. You know what that means.
We're going to have a...
Here's the problem. Today
Jimmy
is not
Dodd
Tuesday.
Is a dick.
Yeah, well, that's... Jimmy Dodd is a dick, and that is a problem. But that's not the problem that we're at right now. Oh, here we go, ready? Roll out the carpets, strike up the band. Today is not Tuesday. The show is not going to be released on a Tuesday, and
nope.
Most people aren't going to listen on a Tuesday.
Nope.
So the fact that you set off the Tuesday alarm makes you a bad broadcaster.
Well, on Tuesday, Dan and I... we were out driving around, and I said, oh, man, I would really like some frozen yogurt. Now, I don't ever eat ice cream or frozen yogurt. Like, I'm just not really into it. I don't
right.
like the really, really cold
Understood.
Desserts.
Understood.
I'm actually not really into sweet stuff. Like, if I have a choice of what to have after dinner, I'm going for a drink.
Or a steak.
I'm not going for a dessert.
I understand.
Not,
I understand.
Not really a dessert person. I really want some frozen yogurt. And he goes, hey, there's that candy store over there that has ice cream. We can go see if they have frozen yogurt. I
Danger
almost
zone.
Got mad.
You should have gotten mad.
Because I was like, how dare you try to take me into a candy store?
Danger zone. Not
right.
fair. Not fair.
Like what? On the chance.
Come on,
that
Dan.
They might. Maybe. Have frozen yogurt?
Because what's happening is he's saying, excuse me, do you have frozen yogurt? Meanwhile, you're using the big metal scoop to shovel gummy worms in your mouth.
Right. No, what Dan is saying is, excuse me, can I have 3 pounds of your handmade pralines?
Oh, my God.
It's that kind of candy store.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like the handmade candy store. And I was like, there's no chance they have frozen yogurt. Are you kidding me? They don't have anything that was like known to man before 1950.
Ugh. Well, he's bad. Not only is he throwing dead birds in the dead lady's yard, but he's taking the candy store. Hey, you know what? We talked about Cousin Brucey. I believe this disc jockey is dead, but I do a passable impression of him. So as we get into the segment, allow me to do another CBS/ABC disc jockey for you. Hey, good morning. It's the morning mayor, and I'm Harry Harrison. It's 18 past the hour. Good morning, New York.
Harry Harrison. Starts your morning, WABC.
And he was the original morning mayor, the great Harry Harrison.
If they're still playing us on KCJJ, can you imagine that poor board op? Don't shake your head.
You mean the board op? The young man with the pistol in his mouth?
Yes.
That's the one.
Where do I start the segment? Where do I play the commercial?
All right, this is Harry Harrison talking to the board op. Hit pause. Now start it in 3, 2, 1. Good morning, Iowa. It's Harry Harrison, the morning mayor. I'm even older than Steve Bridges. Such a thing is possible. Hey, by the way, I'm dead. So if you call
how do you like your new studio?
If you have to call, talk loud, because the morning mayor is dead. Harry Harrison starts your morning.
Harry Harrison starts your morning. WABC.
No need
to
delay.
Getting to know all about you.
We do love when people send us correspondence, and here is one that actually came to the Mike O'Mara Show P.O. Box, which is, if you want to mail us a letter, it is P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177, and it comes from the return address, Katie, is Camp Rama, New England, bunk number 35.
What?
We got a letter from camp.
No. Okay. Tell me exactly what. How is it addressed on the envelope? Tell
on
me
the
how
envelope,
it's addressed.
It's addressed to Rob Spiewak, Cake and Cookies.
Hello, Mother.
P.O. Box
2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. And it's got the charming little boy combination of upper and lowercase letters.
Oh.
And really, the return address, I'm not going to read you the full address because the man has some privacy. But it does mention bunk 35.
Oh, my God.
Which I think is pretty darn cute. So let me go to my Alan Sherman music bed. And
oh, my God, it's folded up so tiny in that giant envelope.
And look.
Three-hole ripped out of a notebook.
It's ripped out of a spiral-bound notebook. It's written in pencil. And it reads, Dear Casey. No, it actually does read, Dear Casey and Laby Boxwin. The D is backwards. So it's Laby. Laby Boxwin. I'm writing, W-R-I-T-T-I-N-G. I'm writing this letter at sleepaway camp because we have to write letters. I have two questions. If you had $1 million, what would you buy your co-host? It's a great question. Number two, what are the origins of your dog's names? I hope that my parents, who are big fans of the show and TMOS, know that hearing this letter means I'm okay. Thanks for all the laughs, A.V. Scheinberg. And he made a pronunciation guide for Scheinberg.
Oh my gosh. That's the best letter we've ever gotten.
I'm saving this letter.
Please.
But anyway, so to the Scheinbergs.
You save everything else. I don't know why you wouldn't save that letter.
Scheinbergs, your son is fine. Avi is fine. Question one, if you had $1 million, what would you buy your co-host? I know what I would buy you.
What I would buy you too.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I would first make sure that Robert and Julia's college was completely paid for.
Nice. Thank you. That's very kind of you.
And then I would buy you a freestanding home where you didn't have neighbors.
Gift for me or for the neighbors?
But that came out wrong.
Like, I understand.
So you weren't in a townhouse?
A single family home.
Thank you. That's it. A single family home. And a new Tahoe type car.
Wow.
A new big one. I could do that with $1 million, right?
You could. Well, you wouldn't have as much left for you. You see, now you'll make me look like a piker.
Oh, no. I thought it was $1 million just to spend on you.
Oh, because no, to read it, it says, if you had $1 million, what would you buy your co-host? Two things that pop to mind for me.
No, that changes everything. Okay. I'm taking it all back.
All right, that's fine.
I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back.
The college too?
No. Of course, I would. That would be my first and foremost. I would pay for their college.
The first thing I would buy for you is a top of the line, exactly what you would want in your wildest dreams, vibraphone, xylophone, whatever the thing is that you like to play.
Vibraphone.
Yeah, I would get you that. And I had some change, I'd get you a jukebox because I think you'd like one, as I would love mine.
I would take a jukebox before the vibraphone.
Oh, but I'd love to see you play it because you've talked about it so much.
Yeah. But that's a gift for you.
No, because it's in Savannah and I'm not in Savannah. It would be filled with your records.
Oh, no. I thought you meant you'd love to see me play the vibraphone.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's for you too. And for Dan and the dogs.
Oh, no. That would go over badly.
You think?
Why do you hate them?
No, I think, but I think that even if you don't play it, you would love to have the vibes in the house.
Yeah.
You've referenced it several times.
I miss my old set a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Have you revised yours? Take college out of it. Let's say that I can pay for my kids' college. Let's go with that fantasy. What's more likely, by the way, us having $1 million or my kids getting their college? Okay.
Right.
No, what would you get me? Tell me right now.
A new big family car.
Oh, I'd take it. That'd be great. I'd love it. I know the first place we'd drive. Bunk 35.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Savannah.
No.
Knife to the heart.
No. Oh, you know what? I'm sure there's a bunk 35 in Savannah.
Okay.
Thank you, Avi. That was a great letter. And as great as that one was, this next
one. What was the second question?
The second question, the origins of our pets' names.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot. Let me reset. You want to go first on this one?
Sure. Mine's pretty easy. But Dan and I both love Elvis. But when we first went to the rescue for a puppy, Presley kind of chose us.
Understood.
She really came up to us, snuggled into us, and I was like, well, I don't think we can name her Elvis. Let's go with Presley.
That's cool. Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Now, what about Judzles?
Mr. Judley.
Judley.
Judley, as we sometimes call him.
Yes.
He came to us with that name from the rescue.
Okay.
But we had talked about if we had found a boy dog, we wanted to name him Elvis to go with Presley.
Sure.
But Judd had been a little bit traumatized. He was rescued with his brother, and they split them up, and he was returned the day, like an hour before we stumbled upon him, with Presley in the pet store, or like the PetSmart.
Yeah.
At the rescue fair, and they were completely inseparable. What we didn't know was he had been returned about an hour before.
Oh, so you reunited them.
Well, he had been rescued with his brother, Jeff. And they were split up.
Jeff and Judd.
Adopted to different homes. Judd was separated from Jeff, and he stopped eating.
Really?
Stopped eating, just completely emaciated when we got him because he was so sad.
Uh-huh.
So the people that returned him because he was so sad. They said he's the sweetest. They wrote a huge letter about how he was the sweetest, just kindest.
Did they live in bunk 35?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweetest, kindest, most gentle dog, but he had to go to a home with another dog because he was so sad. So when they ran into each other, we went in to buy dog food. When they ran into each other, Presley and Judd, completely inseparable. And I've never seen her with another dog like this.
Right.
About Presley. And the woman that was escorting him around with his little adopt me vest on, she was like, oh, you don't even know. And she starts like weeping. I'm crying. We're both crying. And Dan just hands me his wallet and leaves.
Because he knows what's about to happen.
Right. Because there's usually when you adopt from a rescue, there's like a 2-week waiting period. They might check out your house.
Not this time.
And I said, I'm sorry. I will not leave here without him. After I read that letter.
Mm-hmm.
I barely could get words out.
That's so great.
And that, I mean, from the day we put him in the car with Presley, and they have been stuck together ever since.
That's awesome. So you didn't actually name him.
Well, we didn't change his name because he'd been through so much. I just
That's
didn't
the last
feel
thing
like,
he needed, yeah.
I felt like the last thing we needed to do was change his name. And, you know, he was originally found in Georgia. And then transferred like from a couple of rescues with his brother Jeff, and I was like, well, I like Judd.
Judd is good. Seems a Judd. Now, do you have any idea where Jeff is now?
No. I have posted on the rescue site, the Facebook page of them, to see, and it's Lost Dog and Cat Rescue, which is a great rescue in Northern Virginia. And I have posted on the site before to see if, you know, the people that got Judd, if they, or not Judd, but Jeff, if they, you know, had any.
But no luck?
No luck.
Linus was originally, we rescued him from an organization called PAWS, PAWS, and not PAUSE.
So, oh, okay. I was like, we're talking about dogs. How else would you spell it?
Well, I mean, I was going to say, we want you to adopt him, but we want you to wait a second because the organization is called PAWS.
Hang on.
Just
it. It.
Okay. We actually did all the correspondence for the adoption through email and phone. We explained our house and the situation we had, and it was it was contingent on when they got here that we did have a fenced in yard. We do have space for them. Everything we said we had.
They had to do the check.
Right. But the check was done sort of preliminarily and then verified because we surprised the kids. The kids had no idea Linus was showing up.
Okay. So kind of in the same vein, what I was saying, if you go to like an adoption event looking for a dog, like a lot of people will go into these to go pet the puppies and they're like, I want to take the puppy home right now. And they're like, nah, you got to wait 2 weeks. And
we had been in touch for weeks leading up.
Okay,
so
cool.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was the interview process was done over the phone. So the kids had no idea they were getting a dog that day, and we came home from Rebounders. We had gone jumping. Well, they had jumped. I just
bouncing.
I just stewed. I'm not a big fan. And the dog came in, and we got him. He was a rescue, but he was young. He was 10 weeks and adorable and just the most wonderful dog. And he came with the name Mikey. He was born a Mikey. All of his siblings, and there was another brother and a girl, they all had M names. His mother was named Millie. And we knew that he wasn't going to stay Mikey, but we had a hard time getting his name. We had some friends over. So what we did is we did a list. We said, no wrong answers. What are names for dogs? And we came up with like 60 names. And
oh
my I still have this list. And then we went round robin and got to eliminate a name that was no good. And
were the kids in on this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there was like six of us that were doing it. And Linus won. And I think Linus won because when we got him, he came with his own blanket. And he would carry it around and lay on it and stuff. And
oh, Linus had a blanket.
And so his given the second place name was Barker for Bob Barker. And I thought Barker was a good dog name.
I like because of Bob Barker. And you got like the Bob Barker microphone and everything.
And so his full given name is Linus Barker Spiewak. And the third place name, and I was pulling for it. It didn't come to play. I wanted to name my dog Jedi. But now that he's older, he doesn't look like a Jedi. Keep in mind, we got him from a German Shepherd rescue site, and he has no German Shepherd in him at all.
No, not even remotely.
We imagine him to be about a 75 to 80 pound dog when he grew up. He stopped at 48. So, but he's a sweet boy, and I love him. Well, and we are, as you are, extraordinarily lucky to rescue a dog and get such a fantastic dog. So,
when I say that Judd was, you know, really, he had stopped eating for at least 2 weeks. He weighed 17 pounds when we got him.
Oh my God, nothing at all.
He was full grown.
Right, right. Mm.
Like full size, but he was just so sad. The second he met Presley, it was over. It was done.
The second he met Presley, he said, "Give me a cheeseburger."
Yes, he's like, "Oh man, am I glad to see you."
Well, you truly did rescue him. Now, our next letter is from a gentleman named Robert Ryan, and as much as I love the last letter, I don't much care for this one. Dear Casey. Well, because I want you to hear it. Okay. Dear Casey, I was just wondering, what does cake, and I guess that's me, right?
Yeah.
What does cake do for a living? Is he able to stay out of a cube?
We have like an actual listener.
Yeah, this guy has no idea that I'm on another podcast. What's it called? Oh, yeah. The Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, Cousin Brucey. But, oh, hold on a second. Robert's calling. Do you have a moment?
Yeah. He's at the fair.
He is. Hold on.
Like Bonnie Raitt, he spent too long at the fair.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, you're on the radio. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you were recording.
That's all right.
I wanted to know, can I stay at Sean's house for a little bit?
As long as you want.
Okay, what time do you finish recording?
Probably in about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
You still get a ride home, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. I'll text you if I need one.
Well, I need to know. It's going to depend on what the first thing I pour is.
Okay.
Let me know, all right?
Okay.
I love you.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Doesn't sound like the fair was a tremendous hit.
No. How's the weather?
Hot, but dry.
That could be it. Like, I mean,
it's dry. It's not that humid. But anyway, that's my son checking in live. Hey, I did book a guest. How about that?
Hey.
So, yeah, he doesn't listen to the Mike O'Mara Show, apparently. So I guess we have...
It's still early, too.
Yeah, he hasn't been gone that long.
No. I bet the kids don't really go out on a Friday for the fair until like 7.
Okay.
I know nothing.
I was going to say, you're really in over your head, babe. I guess we have a real fan.
Hard to do when you're 5 foot nothing.
So, anyway, keep trucking. By the way, Cookies, I just got back from Savannah and it was amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, Robert Ryan, yes, I do have another job. It's called The Mike O'Mara Show and it's fantastic. And you should listen at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And shame on you. Shame on you for not knowing about it.
Getting to know you.
Or do you think he's just messing with us?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
I wonder.
I don't know. I find it, you know, it's, I think it's great that we have one listener who found us without having been in.
But how did they find
a fan
us?
Of the Mike O'Mara show.
How did they find us without knowing about the Mike O'Mara show?
It's a mistake. They were looking for like a cooking show.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Like, hey, I wonder when we're gonna get to the recipes.
They never.
3 weeks later, we haven't made a thing.
They keep talking about tater tot casserole, but they never make it.
You do.
Andy Patrick writes, why did Katie block someone on Facebook? Hashtag scandal.
Oh, from earlier today?
Did you block somebody?
No, I did. Sort of. Yes. I was trying to figure out. I didn't want people to be able to just like search on Facebook and see all my information.
Okay. I understand.
But I couldn't figure out how to make it not. Either you block everybody and like people can't search for you.
Okay.
Or if people can search for you, they can see a bunch of things that, like, you don't really have a choice about. So they can see your profile picture. They can see your cover picture, like the big wide one at the top.
Right.
They can see all of your likes, all of your. So, and I was just like, that kind of made me feel a little uncomfortable.
So instead of blocking everybody, you just blocked one person.
I mean, I have a list of people that I've blocked over the years.
Well, that's
probably
good to know.
Probably not as long as your list, though.
No, mine, I had to get a bigger monitor.
No, you're like blickety block, 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 block.
Well,
block?
I've told you my theory is that my wall, my Facebook wall, is like a party. And if you are not going to bring something good to the party and, in fact, take away from the party, you're not allowed to come to the party.
Hey, Rob, next week, can we go to a party?
We would have gone to a party this week if I wasn't so lazy. But yes, yes, we can go to a party next week.
I assumed you just forgot.
No, no. I always remember being lazy. I do. It's top of mind. We don't have enough listeners named Jeb. Jeb Hodge writes, if given the choice between a bad smell or a bad taste, which would you prefer?
Smell.
I agree. I think a taste is more intimate. And it's like harder to get rid of, right?
Well, I'm thinking about when I was listening to the Mike O'Mara show earlier this week, and Mike was talking about how he didn't feel good after having a bit of an evening.
Yes.
And he said it was the cigars that put him over, and he had taken 3 showers and brushed his teeth multiple times and couldn't get the taste out of his mouth. And I think it's true. I think it's much easier to like put your face in a box of Bounce.
Yes.
Like fabric softener sheets.
By the way, Box of Bounce is a gentleman's club as well. That's in Savannah. But you have to be 18 and they will give you all your change and singles. Come on by the Box of Bounce. It's ladies' night. But yeah, I think, you know what? We're in accordance with that. Staples Man writes, Dear Schwarzwald, Kirschtorn.
Staples D-Man.
I dropped the middle initial. What are you, like the AFTRA? Are you union? He's got to have a middle initial?
No, I just remember, like, he's very active on the Facebook.
All right. Okay. Staples D-Man writes, Dear Schwarzwalder, Kirschtort, and Coconut Macaroon. Hey, that's you. What is your favorite TV game show and why? I'll go first because it popped to mind for me and you're considering. Of all time, my favorite is Match Game. Because it involves wordplay, gameplay, luck, money, and stars. And I think it's a very genuine show because I don't think it was scripted and prepared like Hollywood Squares. I think Match Game was a little more pure. And I also thought that Gene Rayburn was a magnificent host. Just the best. Current game shows, even without Barker, I think The Price is Right still brings it each and every day.
Yeah, I like The Price is Right with Drew Carey. Okay,
I love Drew Carey.
Of past, I loved Name That Tune.
Oh, yeah. Name That Tune was a good show.
Oh, man, did I love Name That Tune. I also really, really, really liked Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, also good. Also
but
good.
But Name That Tune really, I think, tops out for me. And then as far as game shows that are still on today.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of dig The Family Feud with Steve Harvey.
I was going to say Steve Harvey is another magnificent host and the overall.
I don't like a bunch of the previous hosts, kind of like James Bond movies had that bad spell with.
Yeah. You're not a big Louis Anderson lady. I understand that.
Yes, but I really think Steve Harvey with Family Feud is hilarious.
Now, if you take the host out of it, and if you just look, and here's where I really start to look like an uber dweeb.
You just look
at the overall construction of Family Feud, how it works and how it falls out. It's one of the best designed game shows ever. But you can't take the host out of it.
But that's also why it's been running so long.
Forever. The format is just fantastic. So, yeah, you asked for one game show from each of us, and you got 10. We used Katie's rules. We cheated.
You didn't know what you were getting into there, did you, Staples?
I got my husband. Oh, Kristen Eileen writes. Kristen Eileen. Oh, you know what I mean. Kristen Eileen writes, Dear Casey.
You in that dress.
I got my husband a record player as a wedding gift. Nice wedding gift. After much delay, he has finally set it up and started using it. What records would you recommend as essential for a budding vinyl collection? This is a great question.
Oh, okay. This is tough. Okay. Beatles Blue Album, like if you have to narrow it down to just a few.
If you have to start with the Beatles, the Red and Blue Album, I'd say it's hard to choose one over the other.
Yeah, okay, I go with Beatles Red and Blue Albums. The fidelity, the quality of recording that came out of Apple Studios is awesome. Beach Boys Pet Sounds.
Also good. And still being pressed. You go to the Amazon link on the Mike O'Mara Show page, and Amazon has a vinyl page. It's great.
I would also say...
I'll jump in with a couple real quick. Tapestry, Carole King.
You know how I feel. I love that. It's one of my all-time...
And it's hard, absolute. It's hard to beat it. I would also say, as far as just a great record to have and listen to, the first Fleetwood Mac album or Rumors.
So good. Rumors. I would go with Rumors.
They're
totally
both great.
Totally go with Rumors. Both I also great. Think... and don't... Rob, you might...
No, you're fine.
You might poo-poo me on this one, but I really think...
I must say emphatically, I will not poo-poo.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, the production quality of that recording.
I'm fine with it. I wouldn't buy it, but I'm fine with you saying it.
Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Oh, Thriller.
Thriller.
And if you're going to get Thriller, go ahead and buy Off the Wall, because I always thought of those as sort of like his Revolver and Rubber Soul.
They kind of go together.
Yep. Oh, and you know what else? Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Oh, that's a good one.
I said those are good to get started. And you know what? Shop eBay for used vinyl for anything that you feel that you'd like. But if you're going to buy new vinyl, stuff is being released all the time on Amazon. Check it out. Paul McCartney announced that next month he's coming out with Pipes of Peace and Tug of War, two of his 80s
really?
Albums. Yeah, both great. Both great. And another neat thing is if you buy new vinyl, oftentimes they will come with a card that gives you a digital download of the content. So you get the MP3 and the beauty of dropping a needle. Mark Marco Pareda, Miracle Whip or mayonnaise on your sandwich?
Neither.
If I have to, mayonnaise.
Ugh. Mustard.
Jason Wicklund, do you take LP vinyl donations? Yes. And if so...
No, Rob, you do not. I do. Right, you have enough crap.
Where do they mail them to get to you then?
Oh.
We do take them. If I feel that Katie needs them, she will get them too. Send them to Cake and Cookies. P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. If you did not get that address...
I know why you got sneaky there. I felt my eyes almost got stuck in the back of my head. I rolled my eyes so hard, I'm sure that the listeners heard it.
And you know what? And if you need that address, just look up, because I've posted a picture of the envelope from the kid in bunk 35. So just look up. It's there.
I'm going to have to get myself a P.O. box.
I'm going to save you the records.
Liar!
No, it's not a lie.
Oh, and no, I overmodulated. I'm sorry. I got a little too emphatic.
Yeah, you know what? It hurt my ears, but not as much as it hurt my soul.
Woo!
That's it. We're done.
I think we did all right.
Next time, I'm definitely hitting record. That settles it.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll do it again in 6 or 7 days. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Boney. Thank you, Steve Bridges. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Robbie.
We will do it again. And thank you to our special guests, Dan Von Herman and Robert Spiewak. The great bookings keep rolling in. I'm sorry we had to bump Kevin Meaney.
I don't care.
All right, everybody. We will see you next time. So long.
Toodaloo.
Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, The Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking. 77 WABC. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
K-A-T, and then there you were.
Right. Well, I have two different Skypes. I have a Skype just for, like radio stuff.
Look how ill at ease you are.
I know. Well, this is the worst part. I literally just told my team, hey, guys, I'm going to hang it up for the weekend. Hope everyone does great. And then you called, and I was like, no! It's only me. I'm trying to get out of work.
All right, well, call me when you're ready and call me on the one you like.
Of course I'm going to call you on the one I like. It's the one I like.
That's right. And I'll do things like figure out what number show it is, although I think it's 54.
Should be 54.
I'll check. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Car 54, where are you?
Khrushchev's Do It, Ida Wild. There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop sort of child. Cruise ships do it. Ida Wild. Car 54. And they do echo. Car 54, where are you? Thank you.